It's Monday, September 5th, 2005. I'm Alan Joyce, and this is the Everything Digital Podcast.
Podcasting almost live.
The Everything Digital Podcast. If it's digital, you're going to hear about it. Unless it's Windows.
Right, it's the Everything Digital Podcast, and it is September 5th, 2005. I'm Alan Joyce. Yeah, I already said all that. It's been quite a while, but I've been busy. Got a lot of news for you. Of course, got my new microphone still, using that for the first time last time, and made a couple improvements, but the overall audio quality should still be pretty darn good. So this intro music here is from Razor Jazz, this party song, and let's go ahead to those five-second news headlines. Google, in cooperation with China company MapABC, has launched a version of Google Local Search specialized for Chinese users. SoftBank Corporation, the second-largest Japanese internet service provider, recently applied for a license to offer cell phone services in Japan. Chipmaker VIA announced that it will be launching the P4M800 Pro chipset, a new processor designed for mainstream and entry-level PCs. And Nikon has released the Coolpix P1 and P2, winning the race with Kodak to bring the first Wi-Fi-enabled digital camera into the marketplace. And finally, Skype recently entered a partnership with German 3G cell phone service provider E+, allowing for Skype calling over E+'s network. All right, those are just the short headlines. There are, as always, links to the full stories in the show notes at everythingdigital.org. All right, so first item on the agenda is the iTunes music phone, something that has definitely been discussed a lot on this show, something that's been discussed on Apple rumor sites the world over for several months now, and something that has not been delivered by either Apple or Motorola. Well, we finally got a somewhat convincing rumor, and it seems that Apple is planning to release a revolutionary digital music product coming in an announcement this Wednesday, September 7th. Analysts are predicting that it is the Motorola iTunes phone release, but there's more. Inside sources say that Singular is likely to be the first carrier to service the iTunes phone, and also that Apple may be working with Singular to develop a wireless cell phone-based iTunes music store. So basically an iPod on your phone with the capability to buy songs right there. So really mobile and extremely clever way to combine all these mobile services into one. I mean, the iPod or iTunes phone was clever enough, but having an iTunes music store right there would be incredibly convenient. Of course, it would probably cost twice as much to download a song, but if it's worth that for the convenience, then it's definitely going to be a great product. I can imagine someone saying, oh, have you heard this song yet? Do you have it on your iPod? Well, no, but I can have it in 5 seconds. So, yeah, you know, instead of people checking what music you have on your iPod would no longer mean anything, because you could have any song you wanted in a matter of seconds. So quite an interesting rumor there. We'll definitely have to watch what Apple's doing this Wednesday, because it's going to be exciting, whatever it is, when Apple says that they're going to release something so revolutionary it will rival the iPod, you know it's definitely something to look out for. An Australian court has ruled that Kazaa breaches copyright law and is actually subjecting the Kazaa owners to punishments for providing the ability to share files. It's an interesting debate here, because do you prosecute the actual file sharers, or do you prosecute the people that allow the file sharing in the first place? Well, the Australian courts have decided that the Kazaa owners are definitely responsible, and has told them that they have 2 months to implement anti-piracy measures in their software, or they will face further legal repercussions in Australia, at least. The ruling does, as of now, only apply to Australia, but there is speculation that this ruling is going to create sort of an echo or a domino effect against the actual proprietors of the P2P or peer-to-peer software, which is different than the suits that record companies were bringing against actual users, and that was that happened in the last year, but now we're actually looking at suits against the companies themselves. So the ruling also forces 6 of the 10 defendants to compensate record companies for 90% of their losses to file sharing. That includes over 270 million illegal downloads each month, resulting in what is no doubt an incredibly huge amount of dollars that I don't even want to think about. So Kazaa owners Sharman Networks Limited said it would appeal the court's decision, and said it, well, obviously hopes to win the next round of court cases and legal battles on that front. The ruling did, however, make it clear that file sharing itself is not illegal. It did reassure the public that only exchanges of copyrighted material over peer-to-peer networks is illegal. So if you're just sharing family photos, or if you're sharing documents, PDFs, that sort of thing, stuff that's not copyrighted, it is completely legal over peer-to-peer networks. It's not the it's not really the technology that's the bad thing, and this is something that a lot of people in the industry have been trying to establish for quite a while now, is that the technology itself is not to blame. It's the people who implement the technology in ways that break the law. So this court case helped to establish that a bit, but also moved into the fact that maybe the companies that create this software are responsible as well. I'm not sure that's completely fair, in my opinion. Because aren't they just creating the technology? If the technology isn't to blame, then why are the companies to blame? I guess it could be reason that they don't put proper implementations into place to stop illegal file sharing. But in my opinion, it's really the users that are responsible. So, an interesting development there, and something that we'll definitely be hearing a lot about is further or other court cases across the world and in other countries besides Australia conclude on this matter and reach some decisions as to really who is responsible here and how much the record companies are going to get out of this. All right, HD DVD, Toshiba's HD DVD high definition standard for the next generation of digital video discs, is reaching further setbacks. Toshiba's announced that the standard will not be released this year, as was previously announced. So there may have been a slight advantage that Toshiba could have gained from releasing the HD DVD standard this year, and releasing the devices that can actually play the HD DVDs. They could have gotten out ahead of Blu-ray, because right now there's a lot of polls and a lot of surveys, a lot of general ideas in the marketplace that are saying Blu-ray is a lot better. consumers are preferring Blu-ray. Analysts are preferring Blu-ray. The media is preferring Blu-ray. I knew I was going to stumble on that if I said it too many times. An advantage that Toshiba could have had now exhausted because they are not going to be able to release it this year. So no advantage over Blu-ray there. Toshiba, it is speculated that Toshiba may be starting to give up on the HD DVD push. Now, that's not extremely likely because, of course, they've invested a whole lot of time and money into this standard. But it is definitely widely thought that Blu-ray is the dominant standard. So maybe they're cutting back a little bit, shifting their energy to other things, so that HD DVD isn't so much their only push in the marketplace. So strategic reassignment of resources there, if that's what you want to call it. But basically, a loss of advantages and a loss of possibility for the HD DVD format. Skype is apparently looking to expand in China. They've already implemented service in China, and they've been working with the China-based company TOM Online. They've been working with them for about a year, since last November anyway, and they worked together to create the original Chinese division of the Skype services, which now has over 3.4 million Skype users. And that's in China alone. Has just been announced that TOM Online and Skype are working together again and are going to enter a joint venture agreement to release, quote, a combination of Skype internet telephony services with TOM Online's mobile phone services. It is unknown what exactly that means, but it could be quite interesting. Obviously, Skype is looking to branch out further than just calling people over the internet and calling landlines over the internet, maybe looking for implementation of the actual Skype application on cell phones. As I said earlier, in the 5 5-second news headlines with E Plus, the German 3G cell phone provider. Skype is definitely looking to expand into the cell phone itself and start to develop the Skype application so that it can be used from a cell phone user's standpoint. So someone on a cell phone could, instead of making a call over a normal 3G network, they could use data to make calls to, anyone over the internet or anyone that also has a cell phone using the Skype services. So don't really know where Skype is exactly going with this, but you can get a general idea of the kind of branching out that they're doing. They've already done it with Skype Out and, Skype In, voicemail and that sort of thing. But they're definitely, we should have a drinking contest for every time I say definitely. Michael Butler was doing that the other day. On the Rock and Roll Geek Show, saying every time I say these phrases, you gotta take a drink, because he says a lot of phrases quite a lot, and definitely is definitely something that I definitely say quite a bit. Anyway, interesting development there with Skype, and something to keep an eye on. All right, got some PodSafe music for you. This is from Todd Smith. This is off GarageBand.com. This is Cliffs of Iran on the Everything Digital Podcast. and that is Cliffs of Arran from Todd Smith. And I have a new website sponsor that I thought I would mention in the show, and I'm getting IM'd here. Let me turn down the volume there. It's a new website sponsor that I've put up a banner ad already, actually it's just a placeholder banner ad until I can find something better to link to their site with. But Vendetta Online, the massively multiplayer online role-playing game, or MMORPG, or MMO, or whatever you want to call it, something that I've mentioned before on the show, they're located at vendetta-online.com. There's a link in the show notes. I have reached an agreement with them where they're going to sponsor me keep a banner ad on my site. It's just a little square ad down by the Google ads. I've actually removed the Bluehost banner ad I had there before because it wasn't really generating any revenue since no one was looking for website hosting services through my site. Big surprise, I know. Just something to for you to be aware of, and a new addition to the site on the right hand side. If you want to check it out, it's a great game. I've been playing it for a while, and they were kind enough to sponsor me. So check it out at vendetta-online.com. It's better if you go through my site or the show notes, because then they see that you're coming from the Everything Digital podcast. They can total up how many people are actually transferring from my site to their site. Also, if you sign up, go ahead and put the Everything Digital podcast as where you heard about them. It's a great game. I've been playing it for a while. The community's great. It's not quite as big. It's not nearly as big as some of the larger MMOs like World of Warcraft or Star Wars Galaxies, that type of thing. It's more of a smaller community, but a very devoted community and a very fun community. So you can go check that out and check out the new banner ad on the site. The state of Massachusetts is replacing Microsoft Office on all their computers with a version of OpenOffice that supports OASIS standards and Open Document standards. Massachusetts Chief Information Officer Peter Quinn said, Massachusetts will use the open document format and that the magnitude and migration effort of the switch will be quite considerable. He warned of that. He says, however, the implementation target date will be January 1st, 2007, so plenty of time to make the switch. He also said that any new state application purchases between now and that time must support the Open Document Standard, according to this new plan. This plan, although it has been drafted, has not yet been approved, although it is currently open for public comment. Microsoft Program Manager Brian Jones is apparently not happy about this new development. He wrote on his blog that Massachusetts' plan is, quote, short-sighted and unnecessarily exclusive. He went on to say that, quote, there has been no thorough research into the open XML formats for Office 12. Microsoft as a whole says its new open source XML format will allow more compatibility than Open Document can. However, since Microsoft's new format does not use the general public license or GPL compatible format, that means that their XML format won't actually be compatible with OpenOffice. So their supposedly increased compatibility, not so compatible. Maybe compatible with other Microsoft products, but not with the open source products that Massachusetts is trying to switch over to. So there's actually some legal reasoning behind making the switch, and you can check, there's a link in the show notes. You can also just search for that on Google News, and you'll get tons of stuff on the reasoning behind it. Apparently they're concerned about copyright and distributing documents that are in a proprietary format. So they're switching over to the Open Document and the PDF formats, and not so good news for Microsoft, but probably good news for the state of Massachusetts that they're getting out of a proprietary format. Also, Steve Jobs will not be giving a keynote at Apple Expo Paris. The expo begins on September 20th, and the official event website says, quote, "The expo will not feature a formal keynote presentation." So not only will Steve Jobs not be giving a presentation, but there will not be a keynote at all. So this is a deviation from the normal event schedule. Even though Steve Jobs was absent last year, since he was undergoing treatment for minor cancer, the keynote was actually given by Phil Schiller instead. So Apple hasn't actually confirmed that Steve Jobs would be giving a keynote, so it's not necessarily a change of plans, but definitely different than previous years. Steve Jobs will still be attending the show, according to Apple, but will not be speaking. So it makes you wonder why the shift from the normal schedule. I know it's kind of a habit of the media to pick apart every tiny move that Apple makes, but it is possible that this is a significant one. It may be just for minor reasons, but there is a possibility that Apple Expo in Paris this year could have a different structure, could have some major announcements that don't necessarily work with a keynote, could have some really big stuff that it not necessarily best presented in the normal Steve Jobs gets up, he explains it, and everybody claps format. So maybe they've got some really big stuff that could be debuting at that time and could be debuting in a different method than usual. Epson has released plans, or actually a prototype, for its new mini projector system. It measures 13.8 by 10.3 centimeters and fits in the palm of your hand. The new projector technology uses something called 3LCD technology, which incorporates three different LCD displays, a red, a green, and a blue, in the same projector to use those three LCD displays. Oh boy, that's GarageBand again. So it would use three LCD displays of red, green, and blue, as I said, and then it would also use LED lighting, which means that it would consume less power than a light bulb, which is the normal method of lighting the projectors, or providing the backlight for a projector, and produces less heat and lasts longer than previous projectors. It's also got a very short warm-up time and very short cool-down time. There's no schedule for a public release yet, although it would definitely be a hot seller should it be released, because there's really a market out there for projectors that you could fit in your pocket, because right now they're, well, you got to carry them with both hands, and not very compact at all. You're looking at, and very expensive, although I'm sure this new product would be as well. But however, Epson doesn't have any plan for a public release, although they intended this more as a demonstration of products that could come in the future from the company. So something to look forward to there at the end of the show. And that is the end of the show. That's all I got for today. This is some outro music from 300 Stars. This is 68 Days. So you can post comments at everythingdigital.org and visit everythingdigital.org for everything concerning the Everything Digital podcast and other technology news that's related to what I talk about on the show. You can also subscribe, if you're not already, to the podcast-only feed at everythingdigital.org/rss.xml if you only want the MP3 files. You can also subscribe to a podcast and text news hybrid feed at everythingdigital.org/weblog/index.xml. That's if you want both the MP3s and the text news. My email is alan@everythingdigital.org. My Skype ID is everythingdigital. My AOL Instant Messenger IM name is podcaster. And you can call 206-9-THE-EDP or 206-984-3337 and leave an audio comment. I've been getting a lot of silent audio comments, so don't know what that's about, if people are just calling to see what it's like and not really leaving an audio comment. But I don't mind. Go ahead and give a call whether you're going to talk or not. It is $10 for a one-show sponsorship if you want to sponsor the Everything Digital podcast. And we can work that out via PayPal. Just shoot me an email at alan@everythingdigital.org, as I mentioned earlier. Other than that, thanks for listening and stay subscribed.